Do you mind? We're playing through. Here's Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.
It's another edition of the Playing Through podcast. Thank you so much for giving us a listen. We always like to talk to interesting people, people who do all kinds of things in the golf world that maybe we're not totally familiar with. Me, Froggy, I know nothing about fitting clubs and building clubs and that kind of stuff. But Brian Golf, on the other hand, by the way, Brian Wacker's not here this week. He's playing golf somewhere again. Imagine that. Brian Golf knows all about club fitting, and he's a novice club builder.
Yeah, self-proclaimed, very, very novice club builder.
So one of the best in the business is a guy by the name of Wade Lyles from TaylorMade. Wade builds golf clubs for pretty much the best players in the world, and so we want to talk to Wade about building golf clubs. Good morning, Wade. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the Playing Through podcast.
Hey, looking forward to it.
I realize that you, as I've learned here, you drive the truck for TaylorMade and you build golf clubs for some of the best golfers in the world, correct?
Yes. Thursday through Sunday, I am a Class A professional truck driver. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I get to fit and build the best players in the world their golf equipment.
That is so neat. And I've seen some of the content provided on TaylorMade where I see you've got what they call the Book of Wade, and it's got exactly like the loft, the lie. It's got how many wraps a take they want and all that kind of stuff. Do you have a separate notebook for every single player, or do you just have one book that's got the gospel for everybody that you fit for?
I have my Bible. There are certain guys that don't really change a lot, and you want to make sure you have their complete specs. Some of these guys out here, I'll build a multiple sets of irons. I'm not even sure what they're playing on a week-to-week basis. So sometimes, you know, that information isn't as needed as for some of these other guys that never, ever switch. So those guys that switch a lot, you know, I just, when they come in to get something built, I just have to tell them to bring me their clubs so I can spec them out and see what they got.
Wait, can we go back to the very, very beginning, not just of your club building, but just mainly of TaylorMade? How long have you worked for TaylorMade doing what you do now?
Well, out of high school in 1987, I chose not to go to college. So my mother showed me a newspaper clipping in the area about a local golf company hiring production workers. So in 87, I applied. I got rejected. I applied again. They hired me in 87. I gripped 800 golf clubs a day on the production floor for about a year. I moved into quality assurance. I did some testing. And then I started working for Mike Peters and Dick Ruggie. They taught me about CGs, lie loft, moments of inertias, all this type of in-depth stuff. And I absorbed that very well. And I was pretty good at bending golf clubs and getting the master clubs and moving them where they should be. And then in 2000, they asked me if I wanted to come out here and bring my skills out here on the PGA Tour because we wanted to be number one driver again. They thought they needed me. I agreed, and the rest is history.
So when you started doing that, what year was it when you were on tour? What year did you start on tour? What I'm really trying to figure out is how many players you've built clubs for that have gone on to win majors. Do we go all the way back to like Ernie Els in 94 or?
2000. So, you know, back then a lot of guys were just playing our drivers at that time. We didn't have the full staff like we have nowadays. But, I think I probably have more majors than Jack has, put it that way.
Wow.
The record.
Wow, that's amazing. So is it different for every single player? I know you have, you know, you've done fittings and built clubs and done all this stuff for so many different players. Are there some players that are easier than others? You can just hand them a club and they know it's right, or there's some guys that like to tinker a lot and like to try this and try that?
Well, you know, some of the guys are still kind of old school where you'll give them something and they'll make it work. You know, back in the days, a player got a driver, and he had to make that work. So if he had to aim differently or whatnot, nowadays these kids get up there, they swing the ball once. If it doesn't go the way they want it to, they get a new driver built. So, you know, a lot of the guys, they're trying not to make the golf club work the way they want to. They want the golf club to work for them.
How often do you get, like, let's say, for example, you build a driver, you build a wedge for this player. He takes it out, tries it in a practice round on, say, a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. And then you get, like, for say you build a club for Jon Rahm. Rory sees it. Now, Rory comes over. He's like, hey, Wade, I want you to build me one of those. How often do you get the I want one of those too?
At the beginning of every year when we have our new product. And, you know, it, like right now, the high toe is the thing. You know, someone will play with John Rahm, who's put the high toe in for a long time. They can't believe what type of reaction he's getting, what type of ball flights he can hit with it. So every guy that walks in here is like, hey, I just played with Rahm. I need to get one of those high toe wedges. Now, this is people that are tailor-made staffers, and actually non-tailor-made staffers are coming in here asking for the high toe wedge.
I was going to ask you, Wade, if that was by chance the most popular build for Augusta.
You know, fresh grooves always at Augusta are good, five woods and stuff. But, you know, I've noticed the last few years that the rescue is kind of, the rescue and five woods have kind of died down, and now it's more the long irons. These kids are just stronger now. They don't need to hit a rescue. They can hit their three iron, you know, as far as a rescue. So pretty much, there's hardly any tinkering at all at Augusta. If you haven't figured it out by Augusta, then I'm surprised you made it to Augusta.
Right. What's the difference, and this is something that I know that you would know, what's the difference in a standard 2-iron and the UDI 2-iron?
Well, the UDI club was a utility driving iron we had. The 790 2-iron is just part of a two-through pitching wedge set. So the UDI is going to have a bigger sole. It's going to be more, per se, of a driving iron. And these guys nowadays, these guys are so good, they don't want to see that big, bulky driving iron. They don't want to see the big, bulky rescue. So they're making these 792 irons that are just absolute bullets.
Yeah, my biggest thing with the driving irons, as soon as I can see the back, the sole, I'm done. Like,
right.
I need to now be able to see the bottom of the club.
Yes, the wider the sole is, the more you're going to see it on the approach looking down. That's why we designed the 790 to give it the same effect as a UDI type, but look like a set of your normal set of irons.
Right.
So it's been awesome for us.
Obviously now, because we've got multi-material, you know, golf clubs where you've got titanium meeting carbon, you know, M3, M4 drivers, and, you know, the past few years, the M1, M2. It seems like a decent amount of them get kind of cracked and broken and whatnot. You know, same going on for some of the other companies, like with the Epic. You know, as a club fitter, we see, you know, warranty defects and things like that a lot. What is it about that? Is it just hard when these kids are out there on tour, you know, with swing speeds of over 120 miles an hour and how hard they're hitting the ball?
It's how hard they hit the ball. Sometimes it's what type of practice balls you're using. If you're using really hard, cheap driving range balls, you know, every club that we have goes through a helicopter test for 3,000 hits so that we know the club is good. All clubs are going to break after so many years. Since we're able to make the heads bigger now, that metal just has to get thinner as you make a head bigger. So all our heads conform. You know, if we have a couple mishaps, maybe from a vendor that's got a thin spot somewhere and someone's out there hitting, you know, really hard range balls, hey, I mean, you know, I don't care whose driver it is, tailor-made or not, I mean eventually your driver is gonna break.
Right.
I meant to ask Sbarbaro when we had him on the pod a few weeks ago this question. There was a rumor that the 16 M2, that the USGA or someone came and basically took all of the M2s off the tour truck and retested them because they were testing so hot. True or false?
Completely false.
Okay. I mean, that's just a really good driver. In my opinion, as good as M3 and M4 is and as good as last year's M1 and M2, the M2 2016 is just such a good performing driver still to this day. Do you still have a lot of people playing that one on tour?
We do, but, you know, right now the thing with the M2, it had a great spin. The spin was perfect. The M1 may not have spun enough. The M2 was a great spinning driver, which is key. This year, our M3 spins just like the M2. That's why our M3 is now our number one driver out here. So it spins it's same as the M2 spin-wise, distance-wise, except you have all the adjustability with the weight. So even the guys that are playing M2 seem to be switching into the new M3.
Now, Wade, of all the clubs that you build, I know there's, like, we hear about, for example, Bubba Watson uses however many wraps of tape under one hand, and this, that, and the other. All the years you've been building clubs, What's the craziest build you've ever built that you were like, what in the hell is this, but yet the player liked it?
You know, it's funny. With all the movable weights and stuff, it's kind of different. I remember back in the day when we didn't have all this stuff, my first event was Palm Springs. I was working, and I'll tell you his name, Fuzzy Zeller, came in with a putter, and he wanted me to make the putter heavier, and I was like, well, I don't know how you want me to do this. He goes, well, I want you to just go out to the bunker and get some sand and pour some sand down the shaft. And, you know, up to me, first, you know, I'm green. I don't know. Right. But he was actually serious.
You're like, so is Fuzzy Zeller fucking with me right now?
I got a coffee cup. I scooped sand in it. I poured it down. I put some fireman epoxy on the top to keep the sand from coming out. And I re-gripped it. And that was it. I was, you know, that's the way we had to do it back in the day.
He didn't even want lead tape. He wanted sand in the shaft. That was his way of making the putter heavier.
Yeah, because, you know, when you put so much lead tape on a putter, on the sole, you just, you know, it completely ruined the putter.
That's amazing. See, and that's the thing is that, but now technology has changed. What would you say, since you started this in the 80s, and here we are now, 2018, where would you say the greatest advancement in technology is? Is it in the drivers? Is it in the ball? Is it in the irons? Where have we seen the greatest advancements?
I think on my aspect of it would definitely have to be the FCT sleeve, the movable sleeve. You know, they brought me out here to bend drivers. TaylorMade was the only one bending lie and loft on a driver because we could. Titleist had a bore through, so if you bent that driver, you'd break the shaft halfway down.
Right.
Callaway had no hosel. Cleveland had a very thick hosel you couldn't bend. So they brought me out here to bend. 99% of everything I built was custom bent to the player's specific look. That's why I would take a 10-5 and bend it to 7. So what we did is we took that technology and we stuck it into that sleeve. So now when a player wants it to be 2 degrees open, all we have to do is just take the head off, click it twice, and there you go. So in my aspect of building-wise and fitting, that to me is the biggest advancement I think we've made in many years out here.
Now, you guys have to leave on a Wednesday, right? So you're at the event Monday through Thursday. I mean, Monday through Wednesday. And then on Wednesday, you leave the day before the tournament starts. Is that correct?
That is correct. The tour wants us off premises before the tournament starts.
So do you leave each and every player with a completely spare set? Like, do they have another set of irons that are exactly to the same specs of the irons in their bag and they've got a driver and wedges? How does that work in case they do need an extra club, they break a club, something goes wrong?
You know, most guys will carry an extra putter and an extra driver with them. It is very rarely that the products will have a defect or something will happen. Now, you know, if you hit a root and you bend your iron shaft, that's just, you know, a freak of nature there. But most guys, I mean, there's been stories where someone has broken a 3-wood shaft, and at the end of the round, they'll go in and they'll ask a competitor or a playing partner, hey, do you have any extra 3-woods? And then, boom, they'll just play that for the week. If not, we'll FedEx someone if we still have time for the next day. So most guys only carry a driver and a putter, I would say. And then the rest is just, I mean, it's very hard to break a 3-wood or any iron. So the driver and putter is the two ones that you'd want to carry a backup for.
Wade, I want to play a little this or that with you. And it's a little, we're going to nerd out, and then we're going to do like a callback on some old TaylorMade stuff.
Right, okay.
Okay. So first off, just in the build shop, are you an old school loft and lie machine, or do you like it digital?
Oh, no digital whatsoever. It's got to be old school.
I like it.
My eye is our eye, me and Keith. We don't even need a lie and loft machine. I can get him a driver, and I can, Keith, what's a loft on this? You know, the machine may say it's 9.5, but if we put it down and we don't see 9.5, then it's not 9.5.
That's awesome. That's that's ridiculous right there like that. Okay, so with that, on the loft and lie, you said you're really good at bending clubs. Can you bend the lie and the loft at the same time on an iron like that?
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing it. I mean, our hands are calibrated so much that if a guy wants to go a degree stronger and a degree flat, I mean, you know, 90% of the chance I'm going to bang it out on the first bend.
Yeah, wow. All right. I like that. Okay, so how about hot melt or lead tape?
I don't carry lead tape in this trailer, so it's all hot melt.
All hot melt, and then, of course, you've got every single weight possible. You know, if somebody needs a lighter or heavier weight for their sliding weights, their adjustable weights on their driver, you can do that. And same thing with the M2 and then M4, those weights, those fixed weights, you guys carry lighter and heavier weights there too. So a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, I carry a 10-gram difference between the lightest and heaviest one on our M2 and M4 products. So I can dial in the sound with hot melt and put a lighter weight in. If the guys like it loud, I can put a heavy weight in. So, yeah, I got all the options out here.
Okay, so this one, I feel like I already know the answer, but maybe there's, like, some nostalgia in there for you. Glued or adjustable hosel?
I'm going to split this one. Adjustable hosel for drivers, fixed for fairway.
And is the fix in the fairway, is that because of weight savings or just performance? What is it about it?
It's because the lie of a 3-wood is a bigger range than, per se, a driver.
Yeah.
So I can bend, you know, I can bend you a 3-wood to 56 degrees or I can bend it to 63 degrees. The sleeve only gives us about a 3.5-4 degree option. So fairway woods, since, you know, people play them at different lengths, longer, shorter, which dictates how the lie should be. I like the fairway woods to be fixed so I can really dial in the lie form.
All right. Now, a little callback on some TaylorMade action here.
Please talk about the bubble shaft, I beg, please.
Bubble shaft or speed foam?
The bubble shaft saved us back in the day, so I'm going to go with the bubble shaft.
Yes.
That was my favorite thing ever. I loved the color, that brown, like, kind of champagne-ish brown color. And bubble shaft, I think everybody had that at one point or another.
Oh, yeah. No, my favorite driver, my favorite set, and this also is my first set, was the TaylorMade Firesole. Because I started playing golf in like 97, and I played Dunlops for a year, and then I finally got the Firesole irons.
Right.
And eventually got the woods. You know, I had a tie bubble too and all that,
right.
You know. The bubble shaft is freaking cool. What made it so special?
Well, it was the what made the bubble shaft special is we took all that weight out of the butt of the shaft and we were able to put it in the head. More head weight means just you're gonna create a faster. Back in the day, we thought that it would create a faster club head. And then, you know, the grips were, I think, 30 grams compared to a 50 gram normal grip. So we were taking 20 grams off that butt of that shaft and we were putting it in the head.
Right.
So testing wise, everything, it was great.
Counterbalanced on shafts. How much does that help you and help the player?
Well, you know, it slows your hands down. You know, when I used to build for Sergio Garcia when he was with us, I used to put 20 gram weights in the back of all his clubs.
Yeah.
It seemed to slow his hands down a little bit. So he's been doing that for years. And now every shaft company has a counterbalance shaft. You know, it's like what Rory McIlroy's playing. He's playing the Orange Tensei, which is a counterbalance shaft.
Right. I'm curious, when it comes to Sergio, if off the top of your head you know his swing weights and his irons with those 20-gram weights in the butt.
Well, I do. His swing weights were D2, and then after I put the weights in, it went down to about C7.
Yeah, which is pretty light as far as the swing weight goes, right?
Wow.
I mean, on tour, that's probably light.
I mean, you think about it. It was standard swing weight. And then I put the weight in, and that made it lighter.
Gotcha. And how does that affect the flex of the shaft?
It shouldn't affect the flex of a shaft on that one. Now, if I were to do the counterbalance and then have to add extra weight in the head to make it back to D2, then it would make the shaft a lot softer.
I was going to say, does the 20 grams in the butt make the shaft that much stiffer?
No, it shouldn't change at all. It's just like if you want to play... To me, if you play a short driver, the swing weight should be lighter. You should start with a D3 45-inch club. And if you make that club an inch shorter, then if you bring that swing weight back up to D3, you're just putting so much weight in the head that you're going to soften up the shaft by a flex.
Yeah. Okay, so twist face or rocket balls?
Twist face. The forgiveness out here with these drivers nowadays, it's just the players can't believe it. Rocket balls, I mean, that's... You know, that whole thing where we advertise 17 yards longer, we wanted to advertise even the club went longer than that because in testing, it did go longer than 17 yards. But there was something that we couldn't do something or whatnot, so we said 17 yards. But
wow.
The rocket ball was a great. And then the twist face now, I mean, these guys out here, they can miss hit the ball when they want to. And these guys out here, or they can't believe it, and they're out there teeing up balls on the track, man. They're mishitting it, and they just cannot believe the distance that they're not losing and how straight the ball is going.
Well, at the Masters on Sunday, Patrick Reed said he was in between clubs as he was hitting that shot into 18 and that he intentionally hit it off the toe so it would not go as far. And so when you say guys are intentionally mishitting balls, that's how good they are. Patrick Reed, on arguably the most important shot of his life, he intentionally hit it off the toe so it would not go as far.
You know, these guys out here, I mean, it's so surprised. I'm still surprised to this day being out of here for 18, 19 years on how these play. I mean, I build golf clubs for a living. I have them in my hands. But, you know, when it comes to things like swing weight and these type of things where I still can't feel it yet, these players will tell me, you know, hey, my clubs are swing weight too heavy. And I'm like, okay, well, let's check. And I'm like, well, you know what? It is. You know, sorry, let me lighten that up. And if people don't know, a swing weight, I always do a test. I put a club on my swing weight scale. I put a dollar bill on the end of it, a dollar bill, and it changes the swing weight. And these guys can steal that. So
the weight of a dollar bill will change the swing weight of a golf club.
100%. And these guys will know that. So when they talk about mishitting balls and I'm going to hit it a little bit high in the face, these guys can do that.
That's insane.
Unbelievable.
The talent that's out on tour today is unbelievable. When we spoke to Keith Sbarbaro, one of your guys there at TaylorMade, Keith said that Tiger's golf IQ is off the charts. Just the way he can pick up a club and he can hold it. He can just waggle it and say, nope, I don't like it. I like it. I like the way it feels. He said the golf IQ of these, all of them, is completely off the charts.
It is. And the more with social media, the more with interviews like this, you know, I just did a junior tournament over at Chateau Elan. And these kids, this one kid came in and started talking to me about the Nippon Moda shaft. He was telling me about the bend profile. He knew more about the Nippon shaft than I did.
Wow. That's great, though. All of this is growing the game, and that's what's good for golf. And things like you're doing, you know, 10, 15 years ago before social media, things like this didn't happen. And so social media has really made it so much better for golf. It's growing the game for the younger audience, and it's making it so we all understand so much more. I sat on YouTube the other night. I sat there for an hour and a half watching videos on D-plane. That's it. It was explaining D-plane and how hitting down and what it does and this. I know so much more about the golf swing. Thank you to social media. And like you just said, it's making it so everybody's able to educate themselves on the game.
It's 100% true. You know, people ask me all the time, you know, the product's getting out of control and people are hitting it too far. It's not that. It's just that these people know so much about the equipment and we're able to fit them. We have the gadgets and gizmos to do angle of descent, you know, angle off the face, everything. These players are hitting the ball further and straighter because they're fit to a tee.
And TrackMan has changed the game for everybody.
Yeah, you know, they talk about ball this and that and this and that. Well, hey, you know, it's about how you're fitted, who you're working with, who fits you, is the product right for you? It's just, if you dial all this in like we're doing with these guys out here, it's a no-brainer.
Wade, I know that you can do everything amazing. Anybody that goes to MyGolfSpy or GolfWRX.com, you're probably the one builder on tour that most people know in the golf community. I would say that that's probably true. You may be really humble and agree or disagree. Is there one thing in that truck when somebody comes to you with a request, you're like, oh, I hate doing this. Is there one thing you don't like doing?
Yes, I don't like changing the putter faces on putters.
The loft and lie or the inserts?
The insert.
Yeah.
We have three different inserts.
Sensitive.
And it's just, it's time consuming. You got the, you know, paint fill and, you know, it literally takes probably a good 30 minutes to change a face. And, you know, I just want to build 100 drivers a day. You know, I'm not, you know, that's why I have a putter guy. But when my putter guy is not out here and I get stuck doing the putters, it's like, oh my goodness, please don't make me change the face.
See, that's me with bending because, you know, I've been doing fitting since October. But as we were talking about, because of social media and because of the internet, I've basically been able to fit people for years. Bending irons, loft and lie, bring them. I'll do them all day. But when somebody comes into our trailer and is like, hey, can you bend my putter? I'm like, you don't want me to bend your putter, and I don't want to bend your putter.
You know, the weird thing with putters is I did an event at Champions Gate years ago, and it was a TaylorMade tournament charity thing. And I remember some guy brought a Scotty Cameron in, and he goes, "Hey, you know, I just got this putter. Can you bend it?" And I said, "Sure, why not?" So I throw it on my machine, and I go to bend it flat, and I just put pressure on it, and the hosel just snapped right off. And I'm like, and that's, and if anyone brings me anything besides a TaylorMade product, I will not do anything, because if I break it, I can't replace it.
I just had a spider bent. I had leaned on it, getting the ball out of the hole, and the neck bent a little bit, and I had it bent back. They bend so easy now, but it really is so, so important to make sure that your stuff is exactly the way it was when it came from the factory, because if it's not, that might be why you're missing putts. You should definitely be checking your loft and lie angles.
100%. Your lie and loft, and too, and people, most production clubs from the from all these factories come with ribbed grips. And as we know, if your rib grip is not on properly, it's going to dictate how you hit the ball.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of the stuff with the adjustable face we use, adjustable sleeves, we use round grips. But a lot of the stuff that is already, that's non-adjustable, they use rib grips. So to me, it's always, you know, I mean, that grip can dictate if you slice or hook the ball. And yeah, I mean, if that rib is on wrong, you know, when your hands square up, that face is going to be 2 degrees closed, and you're going to start, you know, shrimp hooking everything.
Right, and that's the thing, so, is that I don't think a lot of people realize that even just 1 or 2 degrees closed at a swing speed of, even if you're only swinging at 100, 110, 200 yards, 300 yards out, that 2 degrees is missing the fairway and bordering on out of bounds.
100%. I mean, it's just, it's, there's so many things. If you're an avid golfer and you're really, I mean, if you're out there playing once a month just to go out there with the guys and whatever, but if you're out there, you're serious about the game, you know, you play more than once or twice a month, then, I mean, definitely make sure your equipment is set up properly.
Wade, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it very, very much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you and learned a ton here.
Wade, you are you're an awesome dude, and I wish nothing but more success for you down the road and this season with TaylorMade. You got a good little group of people, I guess. I mean, I don't know, Rory, Rahm, Tiger Woods. DJ,
right.
Rose. Yeah, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, we have a very nice stable of horses right now, which are performing awesome. So it definitely makes me feel happy when my guys play well, because when I become friends with these guys out here and they don't play well, they lose their card. I mean, believe it or not, it affects me. I don't like that. So
right.
Do everything I can in my power to make these guys keep their job for next year.
Three more major championships to go this year, and hopefully you'll get to add more to your stable of major championship builds.
I'm sure I'm going to. Hey, look, this was awesome, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Please. Hey, wait, one more question. Do they give you, like, a little bonus or a trophy whenever one of your players wins a major?
I get to keep my job, so that's the trophy I need.
And you do have one of the coolest jobs, if not the coolest job.
You know, people tell me all the time, you know, a lot of times when it's slow in here and some of the public comes in and I just talk, and I love what I do. So it shows, and I think, I mean, if you're doing what you love to do, then it's just, life is so much easier.
Wade, thank you so much. Have a great one, and good luck to you this year. Appreciate it.
You got it. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Playing Through with Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.